Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio with your hosts, Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
All right. So good morning, everyone. Last night we were supposed to record something. Yo, we were so tired, but we're back here. This is Danny Pena here live from Los Angeles, and I have the one and only Paris Lilly. Paris, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, we got a little late last night. There was a parking issue. we were recording.
Yeah, and by the time we got home, we were like, yo, we're completely done, man. Yeah. So, yesterday we got to check out the press conference. What is that, a showcase or a press conference? Like, I don't know what to call that, but it's the event from Summer Game Fest.
I mean, it's the kickoff to Summer Game Fest. Basically, it's just a live show.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, the kickoff. I don't even know what you call it.
Yeah. So today we have a lot of appointments, actually. Right after this, we're going to go to the event and check out hands-on with the games. You have a lot of interviews lined up. Is there anything that you're allowed to talk about or not so far? Or
I'm so confused on what we can and can't talk about. Yeah. I guess because it is public knowledge. Yeah, I'm going to go hands-on with Cyberpunk 20. That's literally what I'm going to do after we leave here. I'm going to go hands-on with Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to see Alan Wake. It's just a demo, but it's not hands-on. I'm going to see Alan Wake 2 today. What? Oh, I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I have an appointment. I'm going to check out Alan Wake 2. I have a different appointment, where I'm going to be interviewing Sam Lake and also Kyle. I forgot his last name. He's the game director of Alan Wake.
Yeah.
We're going to have a very long conversation about the game. That's going to be cool. And here's the thing. A lot of those interviews, and this is why I want people to take advantage of this, some of those interviews are going to be like one of those rare, very small opportunities for outlets to sit down with like the game dev. Because the majority of the appointments is more hands-on. You get to play the games. But to sit down and do interviews, it's not that many. So I'm thankful that a lot of companies are giving us the opportunity for all that stuff.
Can I talk about an appointment you have that I'm very jealous of, because this was a surprise reveal?
Which one?
Live show.
Which one?
You're going to get to, I don't know if you're going hands-on or just seeing it, but Sonic Superstars, dude.
Oh, Sonic Superstars. Yep. I'm actually going to interview the boss, Sonic team.
Yeah.
Izuki, I can't remember. No, what's his name? Takahashi. I can't remember his last name. But anyways, he's the lead person at Sonic Team. I'm gonna sit down with him. We're gonna be talking about Sonic Superstars. Very excited to not only play the game, but also sit down with him about the game. And here's the thing, Paris. Like, when they show the game, the trailer during the Summer Game Fest, it was really cool. They showed the old Sonic, and then it turned into this like brand new 2D graphics, like now, where you could play, of course, Sonic, Tails, all other characters from the series. But now there's also co-op where up to four players could play together and everything. And the game looks fantastic. Great music, great design. I think that was like also one of my games that surprised me from the show that I'm very excited to try out and so on. So yeah.
Well, and I'm same. I saw that it was such a pleasant surprise, and I was like, yeah, I would definitely play this one day one. But it also made me, and maybe you can ask some of this in your review. We'll see.
Sure.
It made me think, could this have also been their Mario Maker moment? Like, imagine a Sonic where we're able to make our own custom levels and, you know, do speed runs and stuff like that. I wonder if that's even something they're considering.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Like, because Mario Maker is still, to this day, it's still popular. People play, people create, you know, games that we even have a couple creators that we like Dashy that he loves.
Literally made a career off of that.
I think that would be great to see a game like Sonic like that. Well, Sonic Maker, I don't know, something like that, you know? Yeah. So another game that really surprised me during the show, Prince of Persia. I think you were the one who brought it up. It felt like the first
God of War.
Yeah. Original God of War. Very excited. I was not expecting to see Ubisoft to have something there during the show.
You know what? Thank God.
Something.
It's been a minute. Ubisoft needs to start getting content out. They're sitting on, you know, this is an IP a lot of people have been talking about. Like, dude, where the hell is Prince of Persia? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they've been working on this entire time, and it's coming out in January. So, great.
Yeah. And here, here's the thing that I noticed, and a lot of people probably going to be wondering, why we haven't seen stuff from Xbox? Why are we going to see, you know, more stuff from Ubisoft? They want to keep that more for their main show. Exactly. And I think little nuggets here and there, like, hey,
yeah,
just, you know, Prince of Persia, let's have that. I think that would be good for a Summer Game Fest. Xbox, they've been quiet. They're going to wait
until Sunday. Yeah, we're not going to see big guns from them until Sunday.
And it was good. I mean, we got to see the Xbox staff there watching, you know, the event overall and everything. By the way, Mortal Kombat, your thoughts? I mean, we're not a huge fighting, you know, fans.
I'm not. And that's what I think I see that today. Is that today? I think I see that today. I see that today, too. I see that today, too. But, I'm not huge into the fighting scene, but I respect it enough. And, you know, obviously I played it back in the day. Looked freaking great to me.
Yeah.
Looked really good. I love how you bring the tag team in, you know, the other character, the legacy character. I love how this is now a new universe, you know, as Ed Boon was explaining. So it's characters that we know, but we're going to see them differently, like Sub-Zero and Scorpion are brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. It looks cool. I like this. I like this kind of soft reboot of the franchise, so now they can do different things. And some of the finishers that we saw was really dope.
Yeah, I heard there's demo stations for that game, a lot of demo stations from WB. Actually, I'm going to sit down also with Ed Boon today. Shout out to him, because he was the one that made that happen for us to sit down. But anyway, so I was talking to him, and he mentioned it on stage, and I want to talk more about that behind the scenes, having Van Damme also in the game.
Yeah.
Because originally, and this is something where you could go back on YouTube, when I sat down with him last year on G4 on X-Play, he talked about that. Like, that was the main idea, was to have Van Damme as Johnny Cage back in the days. It just didn't work out. And now having him in the game 30 years later, that's like a full circle moment. Yeah, so very excited. And I'm very curious, like, why the decision to change the... Because the ending of the last game, that's what happened with Liu Kang, where he goes back. I don't know if it's back in time or a different dimension. And I think that's how it is now, with the story just completely changed. Right. So... I'm wondering, like, what made that decision for the team? Like, let's go from the beginning.
But I think it's a story point way to say, hey, we're not just going to keep doing the same thing over and over, and, you know, slap a number on it and call it Mortal Kombat. Instead, we are doing a reboot, so it allows us creative freedom to do different and unique things with the characters. Yeah. I would love to hear his explanation on that, because that's what I took from it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm talking about.
Was there any other games that, I mean, I'm trying to remember.
Necessarily the game itself, but I love that Nicolas Cage, not only was he there in person, but you can tell he's not just cashing a check as a celebrity in there. Mm-hmm. He's a little more invested into the game and really put a performance into that. That's what I like to see, you know, with those celebrity spots, whereas...
We got to talk about that.
I won't call out names, but just go watch the Game Awards from last year. There have been a celebrity or two there that you could tell they were just there to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Nick Cage seemed to genuinely be invested to be there. I like seeing that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, because the stuff that we got to see online of people saying, why we got to see celebrities here, why this and that. And I think, first of all, Jeff always been like that, where he balanced the gaming industry with movie industry.
You're trying to bring a casual audience, and you got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills, and I think it's good to do. Like, okay, perfect example. When I do an interview with like a big outlet, I do that on purpose to bring that new audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a different way. Jeff's way is by having Al Pacino, you know, some of these celebs. Some of them don't care, and some do care. Like you were saying, you could tell this makes sense for him to be part of this project. It's like horror. He's known for that. You know what I'm saying? So that makes a lot of sense. So, and there's other celebs in the past that they just love gaming. Like, they love that, man. Yeah. So I think it was a good idea for Jeff to do that. Like, I don't see anything bad about it, anything wrong. And one thing I was going to bring up to you, your thoughts overall, like with the show compared to last year. Because I feel last year was decent, wasn't perfect, but I feel like it's not, this year is not perfect, but it's getting a lot better. And I finally, like, he had the right amount of game announcements that I'm like, okay, you know what? This is getting better and better. If he continues, Summer Game Fest is going to be really, really big, I think, in the future.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to continue to evolve. It's, and that's the whole thing. Like, it's funny just seeing the internet reaction to it. You know, you've seen some negativity over it, and you didn't have enough of this, or didn't do this, or did that. You got to remember, also remember, to the point you said before, PlayStation, Xbox, Ubisoft, EA, etc., they're going to save their big announcements for their shows.
Yeah.
That's the new world we're in.
Yep.
He's getting third parties. He's getting more of the indie titles to come in. So to even get the announcements that he did it, the fact that he was able to close the show with Final Fantasy VII,
huge,
is big for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Take it back to last year. Or was that? It was that. Not last year, the year before. Elden Ring.
Another big game.
Freaking huge, right? Mm-hmm. So you're seeing an evolution of this. E3's gone. Sorry, E3's not coming back. Much as it's funny, it's hearing people leaving here today. Maybe they could do it. Not coming back. So this is what it is. Mm-hmm. We're in a new age of pre-recorded shows, these digital events, for him to be able to pull off a live event in Los Angeles, get the community involved. Obviously, the media, us, we're there as well. It's good. It's good. And the more this grows, like he's changed it now where it's this trifecta of Summer Game Fest, Opening Night Live, Game Awards. Is there a synergy that goes with those now? So I'm going to get some big reveals, like a Series X reveal,
yeah,
at huge, the Game Awards. Huge. He's going to get an Elden Ring, mm-hmm, but not every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm blanking on the name. Another game that I really enjoyed seeing, I'm blanking on the name of, hope you remember, is the one that's coming from Toriyama. Creator of Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball, yeah. It has that Borderlands, yeah, Dragon Ball,
like,
vibe.
It's almost like Dragon Ball in Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looked dope to me.
Yeah.
I want to definitely check that out more, mm-hmm, and see more of that. And that's the thing. And, like, again, from a PlayStation standpoint, sure, we didn't see anything new from Spider-Man. We got to see concept art, but we got the release date.
And yeah.
So now we know.
And the cover.
Spider-Man 2 comes, yeah, and the cover. And now you can do pre-orders for the collector's edition and all that stuff.
Paris, the thing that we were going back and forth, yo, October is looking crazy.
It looks insane. It's insanity. Like, my immediate thought when he said Spider-Man was October, I was like, oh, thank God. Because the rumor was they were going to go head-to-head with Starfield. So I'm like, okay, I don't have time to play Starfield.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Spider-Man. Then Mortal Kombat
and in October.
Alan Wake. Yeah, we didn't even talk about Alan Wake 2. Alan Wake 2
is Yeah, so Alan Wake is October 17th, and 3 days later, oh, it's Spider-Man. It's the same week.
Oh, my God. How?
I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this.
Is
and here's the thing.
Sacrifices are going to be made.
Here's the crazy thing. We don't know what we're going to get to see Xbox. With Xbox and Ubisoft.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
We don't know.
That's the crazy part.
Because there is a good chance that one of the Xbox games will also be in October. I personally think it might be Forza. We'll find out on Sunday, but... That's crazy.
But yeah, because if Starfield comes out in September, it doesn't make sense for Xbox to release Forza in September.
Here's the thing with Xbox, since we're pivoting that slightly.
Yeah.
If they got three big games this year,
back to back,
then it's going to be September, October, November. They only got the two, then I can see Forza.
What about August?
I think that's something smaller. I think that might be a partnered third-party game, day one on Game Pass. I don't, even if it is something internal from, like, let's say it's Compulsion Games.
Yeah.
That's a double A. It'll be like a Hi-Fi Rush,
okay,
kind of game. You, okay, know what I'm saying?
Okay. It's like a high double A.
Yeah.
High double A. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ah, man. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know. Do we see Hellblade this year, next year?
I'm leaning towards we see it this year.
This year.
I feel like let's put it this way. We're going to see it Sunday.
Oh, we have to.
And there will be a release date on it. It's just, is it going to be 2023 or, to your point, early 2024?
You're the head of Xbox, Paris Lilly, have to decide to release Hellblade. When is, like, the right time to release Hellblade?
November.
November this year.
Yep.
So it's Starfield, Forza, that.
I'm coming out guns blazing.
Yeah.
I want to end 2023 very strong for Xbox and set the cadence moving forward.
Yeah,
for what we're going to do for the releases that we're going to have. Because again, let's not forget, Starfield was supposed to be 2022. So, yeah, we're getting in 2023, but it's kind of a makeup. Honestly, Forza 2, these are makeup games from 2022.
Yeah.
So what was supposed to be in 2023? I still say it's Hellblade. There was something that was supposed to be their holiday title for 2023. Yeah. And if it's coming in on time, put it out. I wouldn't hold it.
Now, sometimes we've seen releases early December.
Stalker 2.
Why Stalker 2?
If it's, again, this is if it's ready. If it's ready, coming off of last year with that great video they did about the Ukraine war and all that, if they're to the point where that game is ready to come out, it's almost like, what did they, what was the one last year? The Rick and Morty game.
Oh,
Justin Roiland's game.
Oh, my yeah.
God. Why am I blanking?
Yeah.
It's early, folks. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very early. I know you're talking about it. Yeah.
That was a December game.
It was a December. And it was a very successful game.
Yeah, it was good.
Besides the crazy that happened.
Yeah, nonsense. Yeah.
Now, back to Summer Game Fest, Paris. And I have to bring this up.
High in life.
High in life. There you go. This is a very important conversation. And I hope next year, Jeff and his team really explains about Summer Game Fest. Because one thing that we noticed, we were walking out. I think we were leaving YouTube Theater. There was one guy that was mad. It sounded like he was mad. He was like, man, I didn't know this was like, I thought it was going to be hands-on and it was just a press conference. I could have just stayed home. Like he said that, right? I think they need to really explain about Summer Game Fest. You could watch it from there live. And some of the creators and media will get to play the game at a different event.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Play this, and this is not right. The same. You think that was a very confusing thing?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously when you pointed that out as we're leaving, I guess I never thought it was that confusing to anyone.
For us, but we've been in the industry. Yeah,
no, but different. Even just the general public, I guess I wouldn't have thought that if I bought a ticket to go to the YouTube Theater that I was going to be playing these games.
Yeah,
I guess it's but again, maybe we're too close to it. I don't know. But to your point, it wouldn't hurt for Jeff to next year be a little more clear on how that works.
And I, honestly, I think it is worth it to attend and meet people. And there was people that got to meet a lot of like industry folks, and they were just talking. You know, everyone was there.
Yeah, it was every two seconds. There was someone coming up.
Yeah,
yeah. It was good.
It was really, really good. So, do you think? Play days should be like this, invite only, because E3 was very, it's gotten to a point it was very open. Because
this is the point. All you're going to do is just become E3 again. And then it's going to become too, now companies don't want to participate. And it was just, all of this, we were just be repeating history again.
Yeah.
I think this way, while... because we have Gamescom, we have PAX. There's other events around the year where you can get hands-on, you can have it more community focused. I think this being more focused towards reveals, let media and creators kind of get in there for a first hands-on look, kind of set the tempo of what these games are going to be. And you can have a Comic-Con, you can have a PAX, you can have a Gamescom where if there are demo builds ready to go, the public, those events are already tailor-made for the community to come through and get hands-on with stuff. Leave it at that. That me personally.
Yeah.
And I know everyone doesn't agree with that, but I just think, why are we canceling E3 just to basically put it under new management, under Jeff Keighley, and under a new name? Because that would all it would be. I think what Jeff is doing is the proper evolution of it. Is it perfect yet? No. But I mean, Ubisoft is doing a live show as well, but Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo and EA, they're not doing live shows anymore.
They're not.
At least he's doing a live show. At least there's an opportunity for the public to sit in the crowd, have that energy, have these world premiere reveals, have the creator out on stage or celebrity out on stage. At least that is still there.
Yeah, and there's certain games that they showed yesterday. Demo is out now. Like now people that are from home that can't play these games from the event.
We didn't even talk about it. Lies of P.
Yeah,
that was the one. The demo. I guess you can play it now.
Yo, I can't wait to play that game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not going to have time to play it until after Summer Game Fest. But yeah, the game looks dark, looks dope. I can't wait. I think shout out to Jeff Rubenstein. He posted an article
on Xbox Wire
about their hands on and explain mm-hmm. everything about the game. So yeah, make sure to check that out, man. It's really, really cool. Now, one thing I really want to bring up, Paris, when we went to pick up our badges, we got to see a sneak peek of play days. Oh my God, way bigger than last year. Way bigger. There's more. It's a venue where it's, I don't know how to explain, but there's like different locations where you could go. There's an area where WB is at. There's going to be an area for Amazon Games, and there's going to be an area for like indie games. I'm loving the setup for this year, man. It's looking really, really good.
That's what I mean. It's evolving. So yeah, obviously Jeff and his team got feedback from last year. They've expanded it. So there's more media and creators that are here.
Yeah.
And it's in the same location, but they're utilizing the space better.
Yeah.
So it's not, that was obviously, you remember last year, but it was more cramped. So yeah, I'm excited to go this year and see it. And, you know, obviously we'll do our thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I'm trying to remember if there was anything, you good? Good. All right. I'm wondering, was there anything that got your attention also from the show before we wrap it up? Any other games that you're like, oh, you know, I'll try this out. It's not that bad.
It's early, and I apologize because I'm being bad on names right now. There was definitely one other indie game.
No, that got your attention. Well, the one that remember. There was one that it had that Hades.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking of, and I can't think of the name of it.
And I can't remember. Yeah. And that was only a Steam game. That was a PC game.
Yeah, yeah. That was, as I'm watching, I go, like 80s.
It looks good. It looks good. Yeah, besides that, okay, Final Fantasy, the end, like the announcement, I was not expecting. And look, I feel like it's really fast. They're announcing now, and it's coming out early next year. But here's the thing that stood out to me. The game has two discs? What? This is like old school.
That's old school, yeah.
What?
That's the first thing I thought of, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much content's in that thing. Like, for having two discs for a PS5 game.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I've never seen that. I think the last time I played an RPG like that had multiple discs that I remember. Probably more after that, but Lost Odyssey. Mm. I think it was like four discs, maybe five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, great surprise. And, you know, we were joking afterwards, like, because I'm not a big Final Fantasy person. So, like, you know, like 16 is about to come out, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you almost take away from 16 by talking about this now. Like, you almost would think you would have ended it with more stuff about 16 since it's about to come out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Who knows why they did what they did, but the fact that you're getting that in January is good.
Yeah,
I mean, good. That's what I mean. I like, these are the kind of announcements I like. Announce it, 2 months later, you're playing it, which means the game's ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Versus I'm showing me some CGI trailer and I don't get it for like 3 more years.
Yeah. Or sometimes even more.
Ever.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Now more and more, Paris, we're seeing companies where they show the game, and the game is available like a couple months, like right away. It reminded me of Fallout. Was it Fallout 4?
Yeah.
Announced it, was really available like a couple months later. I'm like, oh man, this is good. So instead of let's promote this for like 2 years and heavily when it's like only a year left, it's different. It's the industry is changing. So that's why I was very surprised how fast from this new Final Fantasy and this one coming out back to back from Square Enix. I'm like, wow. That's a lot, man. A lot. I think Capcom been also killing it with content. Oh,
that was another thing. Speaking of Capcom, the Street Fighter VI Exo Primal, you know, kind of collab. I mean, interesting. Looks interesting.
Little nuggets.
Yeah.
not a big thing. I'm trying to see if there was anything else before we wrap it up. If there's anything else that we were like, okay, this is pretty dope.
Well, we really didn't talk about Alan Wake 2. I know you're big.
Huge.
I mean, I'll let you run away.
Love the presentation. Have a lot of questions of the style of the game. So a couple things that I'm going to start. I'm going to write down these questions because I don't want to forget. But if you play games like Quantum Break and Alan Wake, it was like episodic episodes. Mm-hmm. So like you finish one chapter and then when you go to the next one, it's like a TV show. Previously on Alan Wake and the show, I don't see that happening with this at all. I think it's going to be a very totally different game. Another thing that I need to know is, because one thing Sam Lake mentioned when he was on stage, he said you could play, you could switch the characters, right, in the game. But the thing that I'm wondering, if you, let's say you want to play the new character, Saga, you play with her, at that moment where you're at in the location, it whatever she's doing there is going to affect Alan Wake in a different location. So I'm wondering, how's that going to work? Is it just worth it to just play with her all the way, or Alan Wake all the way, or just switch in real time to see what happens from the story? And I think that's going to make me play more than three times, because I'm going to focus on her, focus on him, and then switch to see those moments. Like, if something that she does is going to affect Alan Wake in a different world.
And,
you know?
And this is next gen only. This is PS5 Series X.
Yeah,
only.
And PC.
So,
yeah.
So it's probably taking advantage of the SSD when you're switching.
Characters.
But it also looks like this is a, you know, because Sam Lake was great to emphasize that, and it has been 13 years, so you don't have to play the first one to be able to get in this one, because you could take it from the perspective of this new character as your intro into this world, and because she don't know what's going on, so if you don't know what's going on, you can kind of see it through her eyes as well. I think that's good.
And I think that's smart, too.
Yeah,
like,
very smart.
The way how they're doing it, too. And again, I need to know more about this Atlas Cayce guy. Look him up. Whoever's listening to this, look him up, because I feel like he's a very important character. Sam Lake kind of teased it on stage, and he was just smiling and didn't say anything else. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of symbolic messages with that character, even when the first Alan Wake came out, that I can't wait to talk to to Sam Lake about it. So for those that don't know, Alan Wake is an author, so he had a book series during the first game about Alice Cayce. So if you walk around in the beginning of the game, I think he's in New York City, not the beginning, sometime early in the game, he's walking around the city and in his house apartment, and there's an area where he has like a book collection of his series, and the book series is about Alex Cayce. So when you look at the cover and you learn more about the character, it was it has the same cover of Max Payne. It has the at the end he kills the character and everything, and it felt like symbolically at that time when I was reading, it was Remedy saying we're done with Max Payne, we're moving on. And there was even interviews of Alan Wake and another person, Sam, also sitting down. It looked like a late night show, and they were talking about Alice Cayce and everything like that, right? You also see an Easter egg in Quantum Break of the same character, right?
Yeah.
Again, they're done with Max Payne, blah, 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 right? Years later, last year, they announced that they're remaking Max Payne 1 and 2, and now you see Alice Cayce in Alan Wake 2. So now I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Is this like another symbolic? Oh, we're going to see. Now, another thing I forgot to mention, when you find one of the scripts of that character from the first game, the voice actor that's reading it is the original voice actor of Max Payne. He's also the original voice actor for this character, Alice Cayce in Alan Wake 2. So I'm trying to figure out, like, wait a minute, is this like has something to do with Max Payne? Because they said that this is not Max Payne at all. But lots of questions. I know I'm going way too deep, but I have a lot of questions to ask to the team about this, man. So again, like you were saying, Paris, you don't need to learn or play the first game in order for you to play Alan Wake 2. But I think this is going to make you go back and be like, man, I want to play Alan Wake. I want to play American Nightmare. That's the... it was like a smaller game that came out for Xbox Live Arcade of Alan Wake. You play also Quantum Break, which I highly recommend for people to play that game too. It was really, really good. I don't know if you got to play that game when it first came out, Quantum Break.
Yeah. No, yeah? I did.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good game. And Control is phenomenal. Yeah. So, yeah. But there's a lot of Easter eggs. Make sure to check out that trailer. Now, I saw a tweet from Kyle say something that they didn't really show a lot of the demo of the game. During the presentation, it felt like okay, here it is, okay, and game trailer and so on. Were you okay from Remedy not to show more of the gameplay? They only show like a very sneak peek, and that's it.
It was fine.
You were fine? Okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
I think people were like little disappointed. I wanted to see more of that. And look, they've been showing the same scene, the same area. I'm glad that they're doing that. I don't want Remedy to show a lot, because nowadays companies show too much, and it's like when we watch a movie trailer, you get to see like the whole movie from the trailer, and that's it. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, we're gonna wrap it up because we have to go and stuff. Yeah. But anything else, Paris? Are you good?
No, I think that's it for day one. Well, obviously now we get to actually go into play days, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more.
Yeah,
whatever's not embargoed. We'll see. But
yeah. But one more thing, Paris. This reminds me of like the old E3 of us in the room, and so it feels good doing this like in person instead of Discord and all that.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we have more stuff coming up. Make sure to check out the show throughout the day. I have stuff I'm planning to upload. So, just want to say thank you for the support, and we're out. And peace. Later. Bye.